The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to William Hill's Racing Podcast. We're going to look ahead to Tuesday's racing on this edition, and you'll hear it all live on Racing Radio from 2pm with Gordon Brown, Sam Turner and Mick Norton in the studio. It's Leicester, Lingfield and Redcar in the afternoon, Hexham and Huntingdon in the evening domestically, and there's also Irish racing from Bolinrobe on Tuesday evening as well. So six meetings to look forward to, plenty to look ahead to. My name is Mark Walton and joining me in the studio is Mr. Stephen Powell. How are you, Stephen?
Very good, thank you, Mark. How are you?
Yes, good, thank you.
Excellent.
What we're going to do is, as usual, on this edition of the podcast, we're going to look back at some of the weekend action and go through the questions in the Monday jury, and then we'll get Stephen's thoughts for Tuesday's racing. He's got three races for us lined up later on in the podcast, but before we get there, we'll start with the Monday jury, and the first question is around Irish 2000 Guineas winner Kingman. Do you think he will exact revenge on Knight of Thunder at Royal Ascot?
Well, it's interesting, actually. Obviously, it was really impressive, wasn't it, at the Curragh over the weekend, considering that John Gosden was on the verge of pulling him out about 45 minutes before. Confirmed the form from the Guineas with Shifting Power pretty well, who came home in second place at a similar margin as well. What will be interesting, though, come the Guineas, Kieran Fallon was adamant that Knight of Thunder would have won by further if he hadn't have dived across the course and beat him fair and square, Kingman, at Newmarket. And by the time we get to Ascot, obviously Kingman will have had another run in between on heavy ground, albeit, you know, it wasn't a hard one, but he's had the travelling as well and all that sort of stuff, where Kingman's going straight, Knight of Thunder's going straight to Royal Ascot. And it's going to be pretty tricky. I have no strong opinion, but I do think there's more chance of Knight of Thunder reversing the form than a lot of people think.
Knight of Thunder confirming the form?
Yes. Right. Not reversing it. He's already reversed it yes. at Newmarket. So
the thing is, with Royal Ascot, it's unlikely that we're going to get too much soft in the ground.
You would have thought not.
Which, therefore, plays against Kingman for me. He needs that bit of cut in the ground, doesn't he?
In theory, that's what they've been saying, yes. Although Knight of Thunder's won on soft ground as well at Doncaster last year. So he's by no means reliant on a surface either. So, I mean, in an ideal world, good ground all round would be best for everyone. Mm. And I think there's a pretty strong chance. If you ask me now, I think I might side with Knight of Thunder just on the basis that he hasn't gone to Ireland and Kingman's had to. Yep. He's had three runs already and it's not even the end of May.
Fair enough. Throw into the mix Tomar if he's back on his game, and it could be a very exciting race.
It could be a very exciting race at Royal Ascot, yeah. It will be.
Yeah.
And they've also obviously got the French Guineas winner entered as well, Cataconte, but they've also got the French and English Derby under consideration for him. But I mean, it's always a good race anyway, but give him another cracker this year.
Yeah, should be. Do you fancy Saturday's sprint winners Hot Streak and Slade Power for Royal Ascot?
Hot Streak, yes. I think he'll go really well. Very impressive indeed, I thought, in that, considering, you know, three-year-old sprinters normally get a bit of a rough end of a deal with the way their pattern works at this time of year. But he did it well, came on for the run at Newmarket, and obviously he'll get a wait for age allowance in the King's Stand. So, yes, I think he'll go pretty well. Slade Power, he's got form at Ascot, which will help him, and I imagine him running very, very well. Whether he'll win, I don't know. Sprints aren't really my bag, personally, but it'd be a case of, yes, he'll run well, might win, but might not. You know, it's sort of a bit of a grey area for me. I won't be surprised if he wins. I think he's good enough, but, you know, it's the sort of thing with sprinters, as we see, that they race against each other all the time and different horses win.
Yep. I was impressed with Hot Streak, though.
Yeah, me too. So. Yeah.
He looks very exciting.
Yeah, and I think there's more improvement to come from him, where we know how good the others are.
Exactly. Okay, could yesterday's Group 1 scorers Noble Mission and We Are be archetypes?
No, and I'd be surprised.
Right.
In short, Noble Mission, it's obviously a changed character this year because he was a little bit of a rogue, wasn't he? But he's improved this season. Well done to the Cecil team. He won a Group 1, which was fairly weak. I know he's beat Magician. A lot of people sort of hold that up as the sort of like the benchmark for the race, but conditions wouldn't have suited Magician. Magician's best run has come on rock-hard ground in California, so I think he performed creditably to get second, having been ground down by Noble Mission, but he's not good enough to win the Arc. We are, possibly, but I think that come the race, there'll be three or four horses that have emerged probably above her, and she'll run well in it, fifth or sixth, without winning.
Okay, so neither of them on your shortlist, really, then.
No.
Right, give us a horse or two under the radar that have caught your eye.
Well, under the radar's probably, I wouldn't say, but the two Dermot Weld horses who were placed in the respective guineas at the Curra, the horse who was third on Saturday, he's bred to get further. I think the fact that he managed to sort of stay on pretty well, considering he was killed for speed by Kingman, wasn't bad. And Vote Often is by Beat Hollow, who was third in the Derby out of a generous mare. So there's a lot of stammer in the pedigree. She, again, was ridden close to the pace pretty well by James Doyle because she was probably not as tactically versatile with speed as the others. She's gone out pace when Lightning Thunder's gone for home and then rallied again near the finish. So those two Weld horses, I think, will be winning good races throughout the course of the year. Okay. Vote Often and
Mustajeeb.
Mustajeeb, yes.
Okay, fair enough. With the Derby and Oaks trials complete, who are your Epsom Classic fancies? This could be the least original answer to any question.
Yeah. Who I fancy.
Everybody finds it hard to see past the two favourites, really.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, yeah, Tegruda's form hasn't really been boosted very well from her win at Newmarket, for all that she was quite impressive and should be better over further. I think the other runner, again, Dermot Well trained, who won at
Tarfasha,
yeah, who won at Navan. She was impressive as well.
Yeah.
I think it will be a Hamdan winner from one of those two, personally, for the Oaks, which is not very original. The Guineas, I wouldn't back Australia because it's just so short. It's ridiculous, really. And to be honest, I'm not convinced he's going to stay. I know that sounds ridiculous. Buy a Derby winner out of an Oaks winner. But for a horse with so much speed, the way he ran in the Guineas didn't scream as though he wanted to go up half a mile in trip for me. And generally, Ouija Board's best form was over 10, not a mile and a half. So if I was going to have a bet, I think you'll get a good run for your money from Orchestra. Chester Vars winners for Aidan O'Brien have got a good record in the race recent years. Astrology, obviously Rule of the World won it. Treasure Beach, all placed, having ran won the Chester Vars. And Kingston Hill as well. He'll be better over further. So I'm probably about one of those two each way rather than get involved with Australia.
Yeah. It is one of those where you probably just have to look for an each-way angle now. We do have betting without Australia, if that makes it any easier. Geoffrey Chaucer, 3-1. Fascinating Rock, 7-1. Kingston Hill, also 7s. Eben Oren, True Story, Western Hymn and Orchestra.
True Story.
Yeah.
Obviously, people have merely just gone off him because of the Dante. Kieran Fallon said that he didn't like the ground afterwards and was sort of basically wheel-spinning, having travelled well up to the final furlong. And if the ground's quick, it wouldn't be surprising me if he ran well in the Derby either.
Okay.
Especially with Kieran Fallon on.
Okay. Then.
I would rather back all those three that I've mentioned, Orchestra, True Story and Kingston Hill, than back Australia. I'm just not feeling this Australia loving that's going on for the Derby for some reason.
Aidan O'Brien talked up the chance of Australia, didn't he, a few weeks ago, saying he was the best horse in train.
But he said that before.
Yeah. But then the fact that reports suggest that Geoffrey Chaucer's worked better than Australia at home, and then he's halved in price in the last week or so.
Yeah.
It just makes me question the bullish statements about Australia.
And there's been lots of times that the O'Brien first string has been turned over in the Derby. Lots of times. I mean, Dylan Thomas and the Great Gatsby were both placed, and they were second strings. High Chaparral won, and he was the second string behind Hawkwing. So yeah,
Rule of the World was second string.
Exactly. Astrology was placed, he was the second string. You know, I'd rather just wait to the day and assess the horse on their individual chances as opposed to buying to the spin.
Right, that should just about do it. Then we'll leave the Monday jury there for another week, and we'll move on to Tuesday's racing. We'll get Stephen Powell's best three bets for Tuesday next.
William Hill Racing Radio. From the first race until the last, it's everything to give you the inside track.
Right then, on to Tuesday's racing. Stephen's picked out three races for us. The first of them is the 240 at Lingfield, and this is a Class 4 handicap over 5 furlongs. So we've got a sprint handicap with 10 of them in the lineup here, and several of them coming into this in pretty decent form. The likes of Oso Sassy, Marmalady, Desert Strike, all arriving in pretty good nick here, Stephen. Who do you like in this race?
I like two of them. Marmalady, one you've mentioned. The other one is a number 7 Royal Acquisition. We'll start with Marmalady first of all. Showed good improvement at the end of last year to win 3 races in a row, and then has been third twice this year, which is, I think personally, been improved form on what she showed at the end of last year, particularly last time out when she was third at Ascot behind a pretty good winner who's won it since at Goodwood. The handicap has been kind and left her on a mark of 80, and her form down slightly in grade, marginally in grade, at Lingfield Park in a weaker race is pretty strong. With Adam Kirby on, I think she'll be pretty hard to beat. The other one, Royal Acquisition, trained by Robert Cowell, obviously we know is great with these sprinters. This horse was a winner last year. The yard are doing well. He was touched off last time over course and distance, and I'd expect him to run well without maybe beating Marmalady, because I don't think he's as good as her, basically. Of the others, Oso Sassy appreciated the drop back to 5 furlongs at the end of last year when she won twice over the Poly Track at Kempton and Lingfield, over the minimum trip as well. I'd expect her to maybe improve as well, like Marmalady has, for another winter behind her, but she might just be vulnerable first time out to horses that are fit, quick and ready to go. Whilst Desert Strike, great form, multiple winner over the years for over 5 and 6 furlongs, including the last twice, but he's never won in a Class 4 race. Every time he's won 2 or 3 in Class 5 and Class 6, he's then gone up and always gets beat. So I'm quite happy to leave him out.
Okay, on to the next race. We're going to look at the 420 at Redcar. This is a Class 4 handicap over 5 furlongs. Another sprint handicap, 11 of them in the lineup here. And you could, well, like all sprint races, you could probably state a case for a few of these. Who do you like here, though, Stephen?
The one I like is horse number 5, Bispham Green, who's trained by David O'Meara in the mount of Danny Tudhope. It was placed off slightly higher marks early on this time last year, this horse, when finishing twice. And then his form tailed off after that as the year went on. Generally, 3-year-old sprinters can sort of miss a year. And the fact that he showed up well early doors says that he might be better earlier on in the season. So I think he'll go well first time out for the O'Meara yard in a race that's generally full of good old sticks like Tax Free and Bronze Bow and Old Joe Said, people like that. Jack Louis was 4th over course and distance last time out on seasonal debut. The handicap is gradually making him a little bit lower in the weights, and he's on 85 here, so he's able to drop down a grade as well. So I think he'll go well, Jack Louis. And a horse that was 2 places in front of him last time was Avon Breeze, and she was only just touched off there as well. And again, I expect her to run well. Also, and we'll mention Tax Free. He's actually been running well at the age of 12, but yeah, Finding one or two too good at his age now.
He ran well last time as well.
Yeah.
Done no favours by the draw. He basically couldn't do anything from the draw at first, yeah, but he still ran a good race.
He did, yeah. And he's as I say, he's likely to hit the frame, I think. If there were 16 runners, I'd definitely back him each way to be in the 4. But, you know, I can see him finishing 2nd, 3rd, 4th, but I think he'll find one or two maybe too good for him, and hopefully Bispham Green is one of them.
Okay, Bispham Green then in that one, and on to the 8.20 at Huntingdon next, and this is a handicap hurdle over 3 miles and a quarter, so one extreme to the other, from sprinters, yeah, to staying hurdlers. What would you like here, Stephen?
Well, there's 2 horses who are unexposed in this field. The first of them is George Fernbeck, who was trained in Ireland. Joined Brian Ellison, has improved to win 2 races, one at Sedgefield over slightly further than this and one at Southwell over slightly shorter. £12 above his first win means it carries top weight and concedes a fair bit of weight all round, but another good run I think can be expected from him, although he was only just winning last time out by 3/4 of a length, so it may be that the handicapper is gradually catching him after those 2 wins. The other one is Silent Knight, running in his 2nd handicap, point-to-point winner, 3 runs in maiden and novice company. Wasn't particularly well fancied on his handicap debut either last time out. Up in trip, 1 great because his yard have been going really well for the last 6 weeks or so, and I think it's still early enough days for him to maybe give him a chance as a 5-year-old. And also I'll mention number 6 Downtown Manhattan, handicap debutant as well for John Drew O'Neill and AP McCoy, off a ridiculously low mark. Cheek pieces go on for the first time as well, so I think it'd be folly to completely rule him out. And then of the established horses, go
Bramwell's got a good course and distance record. Five times he's won over this track and trip as well, but he's now 11 years of age. Clouds have missed second last time out, but was absolutely stuffed in second at Foss Lass. And then we've got Landonstown Pearl and Sea Cadet, who both won recently over similar trips. Sort of, again, they're all or nothing horses, really, where they'll either be in the frame and be involved, or they'll be pulled up with a circuit to go. So, In all, I'd side with the younger, less exposed horses, I think. I'm worried about the handicap now for George Fernbeck, so I think maybe take a chance with Silent Night and or Downtown Manhattan. I think Silent Night might be slightly bigger because it's not ridden by A.P. McCoy and trained by John Drew O'Neill. So maybe him. Okay. Tight call, but those two against the field, I think.
Okay, fair enough. Let's just have a quick summary, Stephen, if you'll spin us through them one more time.
Quick summary. In the first race, it's the 2:40 at Lingfield. Hopefully Marmalady will win. In the 4:20 at Redcar, Bispham Green. And in the 8:20 at Huntingdon, Silent Night and or Downtown Manhattan. But personally, I'll go with just Silent Night, but not a lot great deal between them.
Okay, good stuff. Thank you very much, Stephen. And trot on Tuesday.
Thank you. Cheers, Mark.
So there you go, the thoughts of Stephen Powell on Tuesday's racing. You'll hear it all live on Racing Radio from 2 p.m. with Gordon Brown, Sam Turner and Mick Norton in the studio. It's Leicester, Lingfield and Redcar in the afternoon, Hexham and Huntingdon domestically in the evening, and Irish Racing from Ballinrobe on Tuesday evening as well. Do tune in for all of that. Thank you very much for listening to the William Hill Racing Podcast, and enjoy Tuesday's action.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.